Father, we just want to thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. Father, we humble ourselves and we pray that you would come and speak to each one of us today. Lord, we are expectant and we thank you that you always have a word for each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Right, let's go straight into the word. If you've got your Bible, I want you to go to Mark chapter 3, verse 13. If you love your Bible, you walk with your Bible to church, okay? You have it in your pocket. I have a Bible on my phone. Sometimes if I'm in a queue somewhere, I read it because it's always handy. So if you're in church today, you should have your Bible, all right? If you don't have a Bible, because I'm a good pastor, I've got the Bible up on the screen for you. Okay, Matthew 3, verse 13. The Bible says, "And he went up into a mountain and called near those whom he would." He called near those whom he would. And they came to him. Verse 14. And he ordained 12. He ordained 12 that they should be with him. And that he might send them out to proclaim and to have authority to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. After Jesus had spent so much time in prayer, he ordained, he called to himself 12 so that he could be with them and thereafter to send them out. Glory be to God. Now this morning we are continuing with our teaching series titled The Atmosphere for Kingdom Manifestations. All right? We are teaching on the atmosphere for kingdom manifestations. Glory be to God. Now, we've been exploring the nature of the kingdom. We've been exploring life in the kingdom. And the reason why we've been exploring life in the kingdom is to trigger something in you and me. It is to trigger an excitement and an expectation to say, I want to explore life in the kingdom. I want to do something about this issue called kingdom. So we've been looking at life in the kingdom and we discovered four things so far. Number one, we realized that when you are in the kingdom, you have access to forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven. And that is the entry point. That is the first thing that you experience in the kingdom. Point number two, we realize that when you are in the kingdom, you have access to God the Father. You should not be fatherless. No. When you are in the kingdom, you have access to God the Father. Very, very powerful. Number three, we realize that when you are in the kingdom, you have access to kingdom resources. You have access to authority. You are able to speak and things happen. Hallelujah. You are able to command and there's a response. And that is what we get when we are in the kingdom. And last week, we learned that when you are in the kingdom, you have access to purpose. Your life becomes meaningful when you are in the kingdom. You are called by God. You are gifted by God. And your life is not meaningless. We don't just live anyhow. We live because of ordination. We've been ordained to live in a certain way. Hallelujah. Now, it's important for you to look at your life and realize that you are precious in the eyes of God. You are important. The Bible says you are the apple of God's eye. The Bible says he inscribed you in the palm of his hands. So it doesn't matter how people look at you. When God looks at you, he sees himself. He says, I made you in my own image. Therefore, you are precious. Now, this morning, where do we start? I want to start off by making this statement. I want to say our contemporary environment is highly connected in a highly disconnected manner. Our current environment, okay? I want you to hang in there. Our contemporary environment is highly connected in a highly disconnected way. What do I mean by this? There's never been a time in history that the world has become very small in terms of distance. Never. Within an hour of invent or caring in Washington, D.C., the whole world would be knowing what would have happened. Wait a moment. How far is Washington, D.C. from here? I don't know. 13,000 kilometers. I don't know how far it is, but it is Kachana. It's far. But before you wake up, you'll be knowing what would have happened with Trump at Capitol Hill. Were you there? No, you were not. But at your fingertips, you've got the entire world. You've got the entire world. You'll know what's happening right now. Now, bring it home. Within an hour of a robbery happening, there was a robbery that took place at the Wood, this shopping center here down the road. Okay? Woodlands, yes. Where these guys robbed a shop and they ran into a bank, tried to get people hostages. And when it was happening, I could hear it. I was out there in Mpumalanga. They're like, this thing is live. Police are out here. A portion of the shopping center has been closed out. I was 300 k's away, but I was as if I was there. I'm talking about how much we are so connected, but very disconnected. The paradox is this. Whilst technology has closed the physical distance between people, the reality is that emotionally, spiritually, and socially, our communities have become very distant. What do I mean by this? And this is not far-fetched. You can lose your beloved. You will bury them, and your neighbor will not know for a whole year. Yes. You will bury somebody very close to you, but your neighbor will not know that you lost your grandma or you lost your mom. I was thinking about that. Our neighbor right next to us lost his mom. And I was wondering how many of us in this neighborhood actually knew that this man lost his mom. And yet on Facebook, we update people what's going on in our lives. What's on your mind? We tell people what's on our minds. But in terms of relationships, we are so distant. Now, so we have a problem of dysfunctional societies. And that brings me to my message this morning. Why am I going to town around this matter of being highly connected but highly disconnected? And that is where kingdom comes in. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God gives you access to a functional community called kingdom family. I want to talk about that this morning for a moment. A functional community called kingdom family. And you would find that a lot of people are disgruntled around this thing called kingdom family. Why? Because what they're experiencing out in the community, they're experiencing it in what is called kingdom family. Whether the church is big or the church is small, you find that some people are having issues with church. I know some people who have stopped going to church because church is not what church is meant to be. I know people who have lost their faith because they were not treated properly in church. And yet, kingdom family should provide an alternative. Hello, somebody. It is a travesty of theology to have a church community that functions below the standards of a golf club down the road. To have a church community that functions below the level of a stock firm. A church community that functions below the standards of a network marketing scheme. What do I mean by that? I was once part of a network marketing scheme before, about 8 years ago. These people will look after you. They will phone you. They will visit you. They will pamper you with all sorts of information. They make you feel you are the only guy. And then you join. But in church, do we do that? When the first person comes into church, do we make them feel like you are the best thing after sliced bread, brother? Do we make them feel special? Or when they come to church, we are in our cliques. I want to catch up with Iron. Iron, I did not see you this whole week. But here is a brother who came to church for the first time. He's just looking around. He's checking. No one is talking to him. But when you go to a pub, brother, they will buy you beer the first time you walk through that door. They say, give that man a bell. I've never been there. But I know what happens. In my BC days, I used to sell alcohol in my uncle's bottle store before I got born again. Okay? And then when I got born again, he continued asking me to come. And at some point, I drew a line in the sand like, you know, I love you, but this thing is against my values. But when you get into a pub, these guys have got this camaraderie around them. These guys just make you feel special. That is why these dudes go back. They are so loved there. But in church, you change the way you talk, otherwise you're not a church folk. I'm talking about kingdom family. I don't know if I'll finish my message today, but I want to draw a point home. It's a travesty of theology. What I mean by travesty is against theology. When the church fails to function better than a golf club. I'm a part of some clubs, but these people communicate with you. These people make you feel special. They make you think, I'm not going to unsubscribe. I just want to be with these guys. But in church, we unsubscribe by not being present. We are there on the WhatsApp group, but we're not there. Come on now. Can I get there this morning? I want to speak from my heart. I believe God wants us to understand that kingdom family has to be an alternative. You see, God created human beings with a high affinity for community, a high affinity for fellowship. An isolated person will wilt over time. You are never meant to be alone. That is why you are a body, you are a soul, you are a spirit. You know, depending on your theology around those things, some think you're just a body, and then the spirit and soul are one and the same thing. But whichever way it is, you are a community. You have to function within yourselves. Your emotions have got to agree with what your mind is saying, with what your spirit is saying. There's got to be collaboration. Now, when you step out of community, or you don't have a functional community around you, you will not thrive. It doesn't matter how strong you are. There are some Christians who tell you, I don't need church. Seriously. And whenever people say that to me, I'll say, it is as if your leg says, I don't want to be part of this body. So chop me out of this body and I will make it. That leg will make it for about 3-4 hours before it starts turning into something else. This is what happens in the body of Christ. When a believer decides to chop themselves off from the body of Christ, because at the moment the body feels a bit sickly. Come on now. The body is not always healthy. My boy is not here today because he's not feeling that great. Is his leg going to say, hey, buddy, because you're coughing, I don't want to be part of you. Take me out of here. And this is what we do as believers. We cut ourselves off the body, and whenever a limb is cut off the system, it's a matter of time before it dies. The body might be sickly, but the body is what keeps you going. Hallelujah. I'm talking about kingdom family this morning. Now, where we've read, we find Jesus making a beautiful move, a strategic move, if I could say it that way. He looked for people that were close to him. The Bible says he drew them to himself. Look at this, Mark 3:14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him. That they should be with him. That was the first thing. So when you read the Bible, exercise what I call walk slowly through the corridors of Scripture. Don't Don't rush through scriptures. Walk slowly through the corridors of scripture, and you'll be amazed by the issues you pick up. Now here the Bible says, he ordained 12 that they should be with him, comma. Pause. Just breathe a little bit. That they should be with him. Jesus, why is it so important that they should be with you? Then that he might send them out to proclaim and to have authority to heal the sickness and to cast out demons. Before we can come out and be something, we need to be something inside. This is so, so important. Before he could send them out, Jesus wanted to do life with them. I want to do life with you. That is why I'm saying, please come join my cell group on Thursday. If you are not in a cell group, come join my cell group. If you join my cell group, you will never leave it. Ask Chiron. He will tell you that if you go to this men's cell group, you will not leave it. Say amen, Chiron. Hallelujah. It's for real. He knows it. So I'm marketing my cell group. You have to be part of my cell group, saints. If you are not part of my cell group, you are not a saint. Oh, man. I'm talking about being functional. So Jesus called them. I'm just joking. You are a saint. Okay. So Jesus called them so that he can be with them. So that he can spend time with them before deploying them. Our problem is we deploy people from a dysfunctional community. When you deploy somebody from a dysfunctional family, when you marry out your daughter from a dysfunctional family, you might be sending out a daughter who is dysfunctional. Oh, that's a bit deep for us. Now, put this down. Any dysfunctional church community has no capacity to further the cause of the kingdom. Any dysfunctional community, any dysfunctional church has no capacity to further the cause of the kingdom. This is very, very important, saints. If we are to be a strong church, if we are to impact our community, we need to interrogate what's happening here. A dysfunctional church is a church in which conflict, misbehavior, and often neglect or abuse on the part of individual leaders occur continuously and regularly, leading other members to accommodate such actions. Okay? Dysfunctional churches, they're there. Now, what does it mean when Jesus said he called to themselves, to himself, so that he can be with them? Jesus wanted to be constantly with them, both in private and in public. He wanted to do life with them. And I want you to know, as a church, we need to do life together. If we are to make an impact, we need to do life together. He took them into his family setup. Can we really say we are a family here? Can we say that we are so tight, we are growing as a family? He took them into his family setup. He wanted them to be acquainted with him. I cannot go out and do outreach with Masha if we are not acquainted, if we don't know one another well. There is no confidence, there's no security there. But the moment we do life together, there is trust that is built. There is love that abounds. We can face anything out there. Hallelujah. We can go on to missions and we'll come back in one piece. Does somebody hear me today? I'm talking about being acquainted with one another. Jesus wanted to model kingdom life at close proximity. Discipleship was never meant to be done on an arm's length. No. Discipleship was meant to be done on close proximity, whereby you are able to see my flaws, to realize, hey, actually the pastor loses it sometimes. He's human. Where you become comfortable with losing it as well, because you've seen him losing it. The reason why we want to put our best foot forward, it is because the pastor has always given you his best shot. He has never allowed you to see his flaws. And because of that, you think, he's a macho man, he's a saint. Around him, you don't say certain things. But when we get acquainted with each other, we are able to carry one another's burdens. I'm able to tell you that, guys, this last week was rough. He wanted to do life with them. Put this down. In the middle of lonely, disconnected, and unconnected, unconcerned, and self-centered communities, Kingdom Family provides an alternative for relief and comfort. Okay? It provides an alternative. So important. I see there's a typo on that slide. It is my fault. So Kingdom Family provides an alternative for relief and comfort. And this is what we should aim for. To say when somebody comes to church, they should find an alternative. They should be able to say, I'm so glad that I'm a child of God. That when I am battered and bruised out there, I can come into this communion and be myself. And be replenished. And find health again to go back and face the troubled world. This is what it should be. A community that is lonely. A community that is disconnected. A community that is unconcerned. A community that is self-centered. That is why someone would die and nobody would know in the community. Do you know there are some good things that we need to appreciate in our locations, in our areas, in our high-density suburbs? There you will know what's going on down the road. They will come to you. They will come and cut cabbage on your grandma's funeral. They will come and do coleslaw salad. They will come and do butternuts. They will come and help you in whatever small way they can. But today in these suburbans, high-walled places, you are all by yourself. It ought not to be like that. When I moved into the suburb where I'm staying, I was pleasantly surprised. I've got a neighbor who's very mature down at the bottom. I've got a neighbor that is very mature across the road. Both of them came to my gate. And they said, welcome to our neighbor, to our neighborhood. Welcome to our neighborhood. Where are you coming from? I'm talking about Jan across the road. I'm talking about Nick across the just down across my wall. But it's rare to find that in our communities these days. A new person would walk into a neighborhood and they would not know. They would not even bother. We drive into our driveways and nobody pays attention. Now, if we are not careful, that spirit comes into the church. We become part and parcel of the community. We lose our saltiness. We lose our ability to be the light. But today I'm talking about Kingdom Family. Look at this. Psalm 68 verse 6. You know, the Bible is full of family issues. The Bible talks about family. Psalm 68 verse 6, the Bible says, God sets the solitary in families. God sets the solitary in families. What does that mean? God takes the lonely. God takes those who've been rejected by their own families and he plants them into another family. God takes people who feel they're good for nothing and he gives them value. And this is what God's family is supposed to be. So he sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. It's not your portion to be in a dry land. Your portion is to be in a family. You know, the desire of God is if you don't have a father, a natural father, I must be a father to you. You know, there's a concept in North Africa called the Godfather concept. Okay, it's also here now in South Africa, but if you go further up into Africa, you find that the Godfather concept is very strong. And I've seen it in play where a child is told, this is your godfather. And as long as something happens in that child's life, that guy will be there. Birthday, graduation, marriage, that man is there. He's not his natural father, but he's taken on the role of a father. How about us here playing the role of kinsmen and saying, I'll be a father to the fatherless. This young boy should not grow without a father when us fathers are there. This young girl should not grow without a mother when us mothers are there. I'm talking about God's family, kingdom family. God says the solitary in families. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. Wow. You know, it's not like he's deciding now. It's not like he's going to change his mind because of your behavior. Before the foundations of the earth, he decided in advance. He predestined you and I to be part of this family. He says here, to adopt us into his own family. Wow. By bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. So when a church functions the way it should, it gives God great pleasure. He says, my job is done. Because this family, this church, understands my heart. The heart of the Father is family. The heart of the Father is to ensure that children are raised in the ways of the Lord. So that you and I don't feel lonely. When you go to, I don't have it up here, John 1 verse 11 and 12. The Bible says, he went to his own, but his own rejected him. Verse 12, but whosoever believed in him, he gave them the authority or the right or the power to be called God's children. John 1 verse 11 and 12. This is what it is. He gave us authority to plug into a family. So guess what? When I walk into this church, I have a right to be received as part of this family. Glory be to God. Who am I to stop somebody from becoming part of this family? We need to ask ourselves, are we enabling the heart of God in this church? Are we making it possible for the heart of God to be lived out? Because in Ephesians we are told that he decided to adopt us into his family. So therefore he's waiting for other adoption, for the adoption of every person into the family. Wow. Are we better than a stock though? I want you to think about it. Are we better than a cooperative down the road? I don't know. You know, ladies, they do a lot of things here. They put money together, they put money into a coffer, and at the end of the year, they buy groceries for that mother. They buy groceries for that mother. And she has groceries for the coming 6 months. Something happens there. How about us who are cut from the same blood? I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. Forget about the blood, your natural blood, where you're coming from. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus that made us to be family. You know what they say? Blood is thicker than water. Yes, let's use that in church. The blood of Jesus is thicker than anything else you can find out there. And you know what? When you go to heaven, the Bible tells us there's no marriage up there. There's no marrying in heaven. We are brothers. We are all before God. We are saints before God. So the relationship you have now, you better be okay with it because it's for eternity. You better bear with me because I'll be around for eternity. When we get into heaven, you'll see me by the grace of God. You better like me now. Do you know there's some people like, I don't like his nose. Come on, get over yourself. It's my nose. Okay, it's mine. Now, let's look at the anatomy of kingdom family. You know, The anatomy, you know, I'm not a biologist, but the anatomy of the body, the leg, the hand, the all of those things. Now, let's look at the anatomy of kingdom family today, because this is what we have access to. If we get this thing right, people of God will have no space here. Because all of those people who came and never came back, they'll be like, I want to go back to that church. Because when I went into that church, I felt like I was home. Very important. Acts 2, verse 42. Acts 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Give me the next scripture. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Verse 45. Ooh, can it happen today? And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. The next one. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, look at that, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. This is it. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What was the trigger? We want that. And the Lord added to the church. Lord, add people to the church. But before you get to that, you've got to get certain things right. I've got to get certain things right. What are those things? Number one, I just put two things to say about the anatomy of the kingdom family. Number one, kingdom family is devoted to fundamental spiritual disciplines. Very, very important. If ever the church is going to be separate from the world, if ever the church is going to be better than a golf club down the road, if ever the church has to be better than Fushini Club, the church has to be devoted to spiritual disciplines. And what are those spiritual disciplines? You see, the center holds because these three disciplines are being paid attention to. What are these disciplines? What are these fundamental disciplines that we need to look at? The first one is the word. The second is prayer. The third is fellowship. If a community is to function, if this family is to work, we must ask ourselves, are we devoted to the word? I don't have enough time to go into that. It'll take another whole series. But these three pillars will make this family to be distinct from any other family down the road. When a church is devoted to the teachings of the Bible, when the church is devoted to prayer, when the church is devoted to fellowship, that church is on its way to becoming kingdom family. You see, these are the three that we need. And I want to ask us today as a church, are we devoted to the word? Are we devoted to prayer? Are we devoted to fellowship? Let me say this. This morning, we did not have prayer. Why? Because everybody who is involved in prayer is not here today. 3 or 4 people. Why? It means that the level of our devotion to prayer needs a lot of work. And as a church, we need to ask ourselves, how devoted are we to prayer? How devoted are we to the word of God? It should never be so in a church that there will be a Sunday where there will be no morning prayer, because those who pray are not there. No, it cannot be. When a church is not filled with the word of God, the church has a danger to be filled with the world. I want to repeat that. When a church is not filled by the word of God, that church is at the danger of being filled by the world, where we live like the world lives, where we think like the world thinks. You see, when a community of believers is fully committed to the word of God, to prayer and to fellowship, that community heals itself of the ills in the community. We become repellent. We repel the ills of the community. We'll go in the contrary. When the community is saying, don't worry about anybody here, it's us three and no more, we say, no, we are God's family. We will not relent until the sons of God come into glory. We will not relent until the daughters of God come in and become part of this family. Hallelujah. We will refuse to have these holy huddles where they are so impenetrable that nobody can come in. That is why I'm saying, come into my cell group. Hallelujah. Go into Iron's cell, go into John's cell group, and you'll be amazed by what life will turn out to be. You see, when the word of God is the ultimate authority in a church, it is no longer men's opinion that trumps the moment. It's no longer how I feel. It's no longer what appeals to the current generation. We look at the word. Is this what's in the word? If it's not, we don't do it. Now, put this down. Prayer connects you with God. Fellowship connects you with family. The word of God governs the connection. When you have the word, you will know how to walk with your brother. When you have the word, you will know how to commune with God the Father. Glory be to God. This is so important. So when we pray, we are communing with God in heaven. We are talking to God. When we have fellowship, we have these birthday parties. What are we doing? We are connecting with one another. And what determines that connection? It is the word. When the word is at the center of our prayer, when the word is at the center of our fellowship, this family will work in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wow. Is it coming through this morning? Are we getting this today? This is something that we need to pray about and say, Lord, turn us into that kingdom family. Into the kingdom family that is so devoted to prayer, to the word, to fellowship, where you long for your brother, where you say, I haven't seen him. You pick the phone. You find out, hey, how you doing? Do you know, there's a difference between me phoning you. What it does to you, like, he does it because he's a pastor. Yeah, I've been there before. Well, we know. You phoned me because you're the pastor. But if Chenzi phones you, it's a different ball game. Like, wow, Chennai phoned me today just to check on me. It warms your heart up. Well, I expect your heart to be warmed when I phone you, but it gets hot when she phones. Because she's got no obligation to phone. I do it out of love, but I also have an obligation. I am obliged to do it. But Lucy, when Lucy does it, it does something to Mercy's heart. She's like, out of the blue, Lucy phoned me. What are we talking about here? When we are connected at that level, this church, whether COVID or no COVID, will keep on growing. We'll be able to cut across seasons. We'll weather seasons. Why? These things are in place. The word, prayer, and fellowship are in place. Wow. And when all of these things are in place, then, and the Lord added to them daily those who are being saved. We can then pray that prayer. And say, Lord, you know how we are so connected. This place is ready for multitudes. This is the thing. Are we ready for multitudes? If they come today, can they be assimilated into the church? Can each one find their sweet spot and be able to flourish and become what God has called them to be? I don't know. We are on a journey. Let's look at point number two. I might not finish point number two because it's packed. Point number two. The second point of kingdom church, the anatomy of kingdom church is this. Kingdom family shares a strong bond of love. Okay. Like, pastor, that's a low blow. Give us something more powerful. Guys, there's nothing more powerful than this. Kingdom family shares a strong bond of love. Love is a glue that makes a family to be a family. Love is a glue that enables me to fight with my sisters, and tomorrow I still call them. Hello, have you been there? Sibling rivalry. We are on each other's throat. We do all sorts of things, but like, you know what? I love you. You know what? So you pick the phone. You know, you're still my sister. Whether you like it or not, you are my sister. Have you been there? Maybe you guys don't do that. I used to fight with my sisters. We still do, though we are old. And sometimes the older you get, the more intense they become. You know? But because there is love, you cannot unfamily me just because we fought. No. You can even say you are no longer my brother, but if we go into a DNA test, you are my brother. Clap. Period. That's the whole thing. And we need to get to that as a family of believers. To acknowledge that there will be times that we will fight. But we know how to fight because our fights are governed by the word. When we fight, I still need to be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, Aaron, I know we had a bit of a thing there, but you're my brother. You know that. Look at this, Acts 2, verse 44. The Bible says, give me Acts 2, 44 there. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Talk about love. Talk about being into each other's lives. Talk about sharing your life with God's family. Talk about choosing to be inconvenienced so that somebody else can be convenienced. Talk about waking up in the middle of the night praying, not for yourself, but for a brother in the church. That's what we're talking about this morning. Can we do that? 1 John 4, verse 20. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. Ooh. Do we have liars here? No, we don't have liars here. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. If your faith is not strong enough to love the one that you see. Ooh, is it strong enough to love the one that you can't see? Doesn't work. If your faith is strong enough to love the one you see, there is an opportunity that you can love the one that you don't see. Hallelujah. And this is what the Bible is telling us today. And it says here, and this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother too. You know that statement that says, love is not love until it's given away. You know that statement. Love is not love until it walks. Until it leaves your house. Until it walks into somebody else's space. Then that is love. It's easy to love with words from a distance. I remember a brother came and said, I need some money. Can you please help me with money? I need money for this and this and this. And there was a figure there. And I said, I don't have that type of money. And after I sent him back the message, like, look, I can't help you. The Bible reminded me of a scripture. You know, God reminded me of a scripture that says, don't say to a brother who is in need of food, go, may the Lord help you. Give him a little bit and say, you know what, this is all I have, but may the Lord multiply. And I went out of my way and I said, you know what, this is the little that I have. It doesn't match what you're looking for, but may the Lord multiply it. This is what we're asking for. We're not asking you to break your bank, but we're asking you to walk in love. Now, the early church understood love in a practical manner. They were done with talking. Can we be done with talking and get started with doing in this church? Can we be done with a lot of words? The church needs to reconnect with this way of life. Now, with time that will allow me, I want to look at some observations of love in action. So we said the anatomy of a kingdom family, number one, we say it is obsessed with spiritual disciplines, which is word, prayer, fellowship. Number two, we are saying kingdom family has got a strong bond of love. And now we're just looking at some love in action. Just, you know, as the Lord allows us this morning, let's go to the love scriptures. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Give me verse 7, please. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. When I read that part of verse 7, we normally talk when you do marriage counseling. We tell people, avoid using what we call superlatives. Superlatives. So you say to your wife, you always do this. You always do this. You are never like this. Those who are married, whenever you use that word always, unless it's like, you always love me, honey. That's a different one. But rarely do we use it that way. You are always like this. You always scream at me. You always do this. Don't use those superlatives. But here, look at this. It always protects. Always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. It goes on to talk about how much love is important. If you don't have love, you can sacrifice whatever you have. You're just an empty gong, you know. But this is the point. Number one, love never gives up. Just think about that. Love never gives up. I want to say this, and I want to honor somebody special this morning. You're all special, guys, okay? So don't take offense. Since the church started, there's been one survivor, okay, in our worship team, okay? And the second one is Shadi. One survivor, Samantha, okay? She's not here, you know, preparing for life. But Samantha is one person that hasn't given up on our worship team. From the day we started, Samantha has been in the worship team. Even when Hannah came, like you've seen her, she would push all the way to the end, to the point where she almost gives birth on stage. But this is the kind of person we're talking about. This is the kind of love she has for the ministry that God has given her. And this is what God is calling us. Don't give up on me. Don't give up on the church. Don't give up on the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You see, kingdom family has patient people. Repeat after me and say, I am a patient person. Come on, I'll say it with conviction. I am a patient person. Right. So kingdom people are patient. They're able to bear up with one another. We can be full of nonsense sometimes in the church. Come on now. Yes. We can be full of a lot of noise. That is why the Bible says love is patient. If you can be patient with him, if you can be patient with her, you'll be amazed by what will come out of it at the end of the day. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, don't judge before it's time. Don't draw conclusions on me before it's time. Heaven hasn't drawn a conclusion. Heaven is still counting on me. Would you count on me? This is what will make church to be church. It's not every Sunday that things will go well. It's not every Sunday where you feel goosebumps. No. It's an organism. There is life, there are permutations, there are all sorts of things, but love is patient. Ephesians 4 verse 1, as a prisoner in the Lord, then I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Let's bear with one another. I know where, you know, the church in Cape Town where we were, we ministered there for 10 years. But the pastor of that church has got a group of people that have been with him since 1993. They're there today. I was there for 10 years, so I found them and I left them. But he's got this group of people who've been so faithful. There's a worship leader there who has been there since time immemorial. Is it because the church has been perfect all of these years? No. But they've been patient with one another. They believed in the vision. So the vision is bigger than the problems we face. This is key. When the vision is bigger than the issues, we will overlook some of these issues and say, as long as the vision is still there, we will keep going. Glory be to God. Number two, love gives of itself. Love gives of itself. Love is selfless. Love goes out of itself. In other words, we'll be able to say, we will not close this church because there's no money for rent. We will make sure that there's money for rent. Hello? Am I able to come out and say, guys, we haven't been able to pay rent for the past 3 months? Will we be able to say, I'll go and sell a couple of things in my house. I've got a couple of cups that I've never used. They are gathering dust in the display cabinet. I'll go sell them and give towards this work. They gave of themselves. They sold their properties so that each person would have enough. Why would I have plenty in my house when my brother, my sister next to me has nothing? When there is love, we're able to be vulnerable. I remember during COVID, we would phone families. Okay, can we help you with this and this, with this? There are some who would not want to take anything. Maybe it's because they feel, I can't do that. I can't expose myself. But when there is love, the Bible says love, perfect love casts out fear. So when we walk in love, we're not afraid. We are secure. We are loved in the Lord. Hallelujah. And that helps the church to become healthy. Ooh, I've got so much to say here. I'm going to leave that one. Let's look at the third one and I'll stop there. Very, very key. Number three, love does not discriminate. Love does not discriminate. Galatians 3, verse 2. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have closed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. For you are all one in the Lord. Unfortunately, there are things we find in kingdom family that are foreign to kingdom culture. There are things that we have found in the family of God that should not be found in the family of God. I want to ask you a question. Where does classism, tribalism, racism, and all those kind of things fit in kingdom family? You see, our communities are already caught up in a storm of separatism, where the rich go to private schools, where the rich stay in a certain area. And when you come into that space, you are not welcome. Is that happening in our church today? Can someone who has no car feel comfortable to be here? Can someone who does not own a house feel comfortable to be here? You see, this is not a new phenomenon. The Apostle Peter suffered from this matter because he thought the Gentiles were not as important as Jews. Peter was full of segregation in his heart until he had an encounter with God in Acts chapter 10, where God said to him, "You shall not call something unholy that God has called holy." From that day on, Peter turned around. We need an encounter. We need a touch from God for the church to be different from the world we find ourselves in. I mean, what's up with the flight we see in our churches and communities? I mean, can I be controversial and yet being very serious this morning? There is what we call flight. When a group of people feel, there's a group of other people coming and they're diluting us. And because of that, we out. I've seen it in schools. Where a school that was predominantly a certain culture or certain race, and then other people come in, that race says, "I'm done, we're out of here." You see it in schools, you see it in churches. Today, I'm the one who's leading the church. I draw a certain type of people. But if I leave and God replaces me with somebody who's different, will there be a movement here because it's a different person leading the church? That has come into the church. That has crippled the church. May the Lord help us here as we are small as we are, because we're not going to remain small, as we grow, to realize that there's neither Jew, there's neither Greek. In other words, there's neither Zulu, there's neither Sesotho, there's neither Afrikaans, there's neither Zimbabwean, there's neither Congolese, there's neither female, there's neither male, but we are all one in Jesus. When the church gets that right, the community will see that there is something different there. The Bible says when you walk in love, the world will know that you are my disciples. Shall we stand on our feet? I know you've been sitting for a long time, but I want us to pray. I've said mouthful today, but for what purpose? For this church to be healthy, to become kingdom family. I want us to pray today and commit ourselves to what's on the heart of God. His heart is for family. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that he can get back sons to himself. Hallelujah. The Bible says he decided before time to adopt us into his family. Lord, make us into that family today. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. This is a very, very important prayer. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray this morning for mercy. We pray, Father, that you'd heal us. Lord, heal this community in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that we become a functional community, oh God. Lord, we pray this morning that your people would feel that this is home. Lord, I pray that every individual that walks through this door would feel that this is a place where I can receive life, would feel that this is a place where I can be healed, would feel that this is a place where I can grow. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, forgive us where we've neglected the word. May you please forgive us where we've neglected prayer. Please forgive us, oh God, where we've neglected fellowship. Lord, I pray this morning that you do something new with us. Stir up our hearts for your glory. Oh God Almighty, we pray this morning. We pray that you'd move by your power, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit of God. We pray for mercy, oh God. We pray that we'll be ready for growth. I pray that you'd ready us, oh God, for the multitudes that you want to bring into this church. Father, we give you the glory today. Give us the grace and the capacity to become all that you've called us to be. Father, we give you glory today. Oh, Father, we give you praise. Oh, Father, we bless your name.